our youth students many times. I might have even mentioned it in here, I'm not sure, but if Jesus was coming today, and for some reason we were aware of that information, what would we do differently? I challenge you that I think the majority of us in here would do something differently. And so the reason is why, or the question is, why are we waiting for that opportunity? Why are we waiting for that timing that we don't know when it will be? Why are we pushing off things that we really should be doing today, that we really should be taking care of today, that we should really be reaching the world for Christ today, because we have the mentality of, well, we can do it tomorrow? Those videos really hit home sometimes. And so what would we do differently? We probably would be more humble. We probably would serve more. In this morning's message, we're going to be talking about humbly serving Christ and kind of the reasons of why we should do this, how we can do this, and the fact that the choice is ours. That's the whole beauty of Christ in itself, is that the choice is ours. We get to make choices. Who here loves to be in control? Raise your hand. Every single person ought to be raising your hand because you love to make decisions, whether you want to admit it or not. You like to make decisions, right? Well, congratulations, you get to make the choice if you're going to follow Jesus Christ or not. You have to put forth some sort of step. He's going to make the first call. It's up to you to receive it. And so today's message, we're going to be talking about humble service, how we as Christians can humbly serve our Lord and Savior. So if you have your Bibles, I do really want to encourage you to get your Bibles out today. I'm going to have the message, the scriptures up on screen, but there's a few parts of the scriptures that I'm going to ask you to mark in your Bibles. And so if you have them with you, please do go ahead and open those up. So we'll be Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let's read those again. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And all peoples and all God's people said, what? Amen. We should be screaming out from the rooftops, right? We really should be. Amen. There should be joy in Christ. There should be joy in our salvation. There should be joy in Christianity. And one of the underlying themes of Philippians is joy. And you're thinking, well, we're going to be talking about humbly serving people. Well, serving people, I don't find much joy in that. I want to serve myself. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So Lou Holtz, he's a former football coach. Anybody know Lou Holtz? Oh, yeah. So he was recently asked to describe the major difference between today's football players and the football players of 50 years ago. So if you know Lou, hold on. Here he goes. He said, he thought for about a second, and then he quickly responded, 50 years ago, athletes talked about their responsibilities and how fortunate they are to play the game. Today's athlete talks about their rights and what they are entitled to with no real sense of appreciation for where they are. Huh. So in that, replace athletes with Christians. Let me rephrase that. 50 years ago, Christians talked about their responsibilities and how fortunate they are to play the game. So how fortunate they are to receive Christ. Today's Christian talks about their rights and what they are entitled to with no real sense of appreciation. I'm not saying that we are all guilty of that all the time, but I am saying we are all guilty of that mentality some of the time. And Lou Holtz did not say Christians, okay? He said athletes. I'm just taking that and saying let's apply the word Christians to that. There's some truth to that, folks. There's definitely some truth to that. So today we're going to be talking about servanthood and how it is an important aspect of being a Christian. We live in a world that really promotes self-gratification, self-everything about you, me, my, me, right? That's what society promotes. It's odd to see society promote servanthood. It takes a tragedy or a major event to bring that to focus. We mentioned this morning, Rick mentioned this morning, praying about Ukraine. We definitely need to pray about Ukraine. But that's an example of how it takes something major to happen oftentimes before we think about serving in ways. I read stories of boxers that are making multi-million dollars. They quit boxing to go sign up for the Ukrainian army and serve. I read stories about celebrities who are Ukrainian. They quit that and they go to the Ukrainian army to serve. Well, do you realize after 9/11, the churches were packed to the max shortly after? Why is that? Because everybody realized what happened. And all of a sudden, God became important. Well, I challenge that God is important every day. Sometimes we just don't put him up there where he belongs. So we are sinful in nature, and we will always defer back to our sinful nature without intentionally seeking after Christ. Our sinful nature is to serve ourselves, to think about me, my, and us only, instead of thinking about how can we serve somebody else. And so without intentionally seeking after Christ, without intentionally trying to find ways to serve our Lord and Savior, oftentimes that'll get pushed to the side. And before you know it, we're serving our own goods and our own cause again. And so we need to put Christ on the forefront. So there's some choices. I told you that we're going to be talking about choices today, and congratulations, you get to make choices. So one of the first choices is you get to choose to have an attitude like Christ. And I'm talking about Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. So let's look at that again. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So I had a communication class in college that dealt with the subject of being reactive. And what the professor was meaning by reactive is how we respond to a challenging time or a challenging situation. For instance, how many times have we said or have you heard, I'm mad because you said or did something? Have you ever heard that? Well, you see somebody upset, and you go and you talk to them, and you find out they say, well, I'm mad because he looked at me sideways, or he said this about me, or she said this about me, or whatever. That is a reaction that is being reactive. We get to choose our attitudes. And so the professor in the college class was saying that that is reactive. And that we need to choose to not be reactive. We get to choose our mindset and make it like Christ. Do you think Christ ever had anything bad said about him or to him, or was he ever treated poorly? Do you think Christ turned around and said, I'm mad because he said this about me? No, he didn't. He said, God bless you, brother. I love you. And then he went and he died on a cross for that same person. It's a huge difference. Huge difference. And so here Paul is talking about having the same mindset as Christ. Paul is explaining the depth of humility that we as Christians should have. It isn't simply being partially humble, We are to be completely humble. And Paul uses Christ as an example. Christ was God in flesh, and he could have required and demanded all the glory of anybody to be thinking about himself. He had the most right of anybody. He was the Lord in flesh. He was the creator of everything. If anybody ever deserved all the accolades, it was him. But what did he do? He didn't ask for any type of accolades back. He didn't demand that we praise him. He didn't demand that we give him money or anything. He just came and died for us to set us free. So Paul is instructing us to have the same attitude with Christ had and to be fully humble in that all that we do all the time. Notice how this is a choice. It takes action on our part. The only way to actually have the mindset of Christ is to be intentional about having the attitude of Christ. Because again, we're sinful nature, right? Having an attitude like Christ doesn't just happen automatically, right? We have to actively strive and seek after that. It doesn't just happen. It is a choice. We have to put forth some effort. So Paul is saying, and in our relationships with one another, we are to have the same attitude that Christ had. So think about that for a minute. In all of our relationships, let's take your best friend, your loved ones. In all of our relationships, we're supposed to have an attitude like Christ. Well, if you love that person, it's probably easier to have a good attitude towards that person, right? But even the loved ones, every once in a while, might get on our nerves. They might do something that we don't like. I see every single husband shaking his head saying, no, no, that never happens. And I see every wife saying, yes, brother, it happens. Amen. There's another amen. And so even the ones that we love the most, that we're the closest with, that we're around the most, we still get challenged from time to time. But we have a choice of how we react to that situation. And would you say that every time we respond to a challenge in our relationship, is it with a Christ-like mindset? Probably not. How about every time that you have a relationship with somebody at work, or in business, or at the office, or at school, and there's a conflict that arises, or is the way that you're responding to that conflict with a Christ-like mindset? Maybe not. Maybe. How about every time in church we have conflict that arises, a disagreement, a discussion that happens? Are we responding to that with a Christ-like mindset? Paul doesn't say to choose when to have this mindset. He says, have this mindset. Period. And so in our daily situations, our daily conversations, actions, etc., is our mindset and attitude that of God's? Our attitude is a choice. And so I have two young children. I love them to death. And it's amazing how their attitudes can change so quickly sometimes. I'll tell a story of my sister. Now I'll tell you a story of my kids. But my sister, whenever I was younger, you know, I was innocent. I never did anything wrong. But I don't remember exactly, but I heard my mom and dad tell about this time. And I guess my sister came running in, just boo-hooing, just bawling about something. And they finally got her calmed down and said, what in the world is wrong? Her reply was, he looked at me. I looked at her. I don't know. Maybe I looked at her crossways. I don't know what I did. But whatever it was, it upset her. And she chose to have that type of mindset. And then as soon as mom and dad talked to her for like 30 seconds, she was like, okay. And she went off playing about her day and went back to playing. You see how quickly mindsets can change and attitudes can change? Well, how does that happen? It's because it's a choice. My kids, same type of thing. They play pretty well together for the most part. And so they were playing, and it's amazing, they'll set down a toy, and one will walk away and do something else, and the other one will come grab that toy. Well, I wasn't done with that toy. I still wanted to play with that toy. That's my toy. Why did they take my toy? And then 30 seconds later, they're playing with another toy, and they don't even remember it. Attitudes, right? It's being reactive. It's choosing to have those attitudes, normally for selfish reasons. Paul is saying, choose to have an attitude like Christ. So every day, multiple times a day, we need to intentionally and purposely choose to have an attitude like Christ. It won't happen by accident. We are born sinners. We must actively choose to have an attitude like Christ. So the next choice that you get to make is choose to be humble like Christ. I don't have grandkids yet. My kids are 6 and 10. But I've heard people talk about grandkids that they're just their pride and joy, that they get to brag about them, right? They get to brag about them all the time, and it's rightfully theirs. Brag about them. It's great. Do we also like to brag about ourselves? Sometimes. And so whenever this next set of scriptures, whenever it says choose to be humble like Christ, does that mean that bragging is wrong or being proud of accomplishments is wrong? So look at verses 6 through 8. So it says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And so if you have your pen with your Bible, this is where I was going to tell you, do something. Circle that word grasped. And write out from it, taken advantage of. That's really what it means. He's saying that though Christ, who did not count equality with God a thing to be taken advantage of, he wasn't using his godliness. He wasn't using his divine power, although he could have. He was choosing not to take advantage of it. He was choosing to set it aside and take on the attitude and mindset of a servant. And so the verses continue. It says, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So, question for you. Why did Paul say in the form of God instead of simply as God? Let's go back to that scripture. So he says, who, though he was in the form of God, why didn't he just say who as God? Why did he say that? Well, Paul uses the word morphe, which translates primarily to the word form or shape that something takes. All right, so it's the word that form or something takes shape of. So the answer to why Paul worded it this way is because Paul is emphasizing the mindset of Christ. Christ willingly and actively took on the form of a servant. He actively took on the form of a slave. Instead of taking advantage of his godliness, he put that aside, and he willingly and actively took the form of a slave. Christ is God in reality, but Paul uses a metaphor to show that Christ's mindset was to take the form of a slave. Jesus was still God. He just didn't use it to his advantage that moment. He chose to put it aside, take the form of slave for our good. All right, so I said get your Bibles out. So here comes another one that I'm going to tell you to mark in your Bible. Eliminate the but. I don't think I've ever said that from the pulpit. But seriously, eliminate the but. What do you mean? Well, look at verse 6. Helps if I'm in the right book. So look at verse 6. It says, actually, I'm going to back up to verse 5. Have this mindset among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But, so if you have your pen, mark out that word but, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So read that without the word but. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So though Christ could do all these things, he chose to take the form of a servant. Now, I'd be lying to you if that is the only but that I'm meaning to eliminate. I'm also meaning to eliminate all the buts in our lives. That sounds terrible. What I mean by that is all the excuses in our lives about serving, about loving one another, about having the mindset of Christ. Well, I would do that, but, well, I would serve that way, but, well, I would have a better mindset and a better attitude, but there's always that stinking but. Get it out of here. We don't need it. Right? God says to take the form of a servant. No excuses. So to put the sentence all together, in Christ Jesus, God has shown his true nature. This is what it means for Christ to be equal with God, to pour himself out for the sake of others, and to do so by taking the role of a slave. Hereby, he not only reveals the character of God, but also reveals what it means for us to be created in God's image, to bear his likeness and have this mindset. It means taking the role of the slave for the sake of others. And so if we are to imitate Christ, then that means we, as Christians, as followers of Christ, need to have that same mindset. No ifs, ands, or buts, period. We need to have the mindset of Christ. It's eliminating all excuses, folks. There's no more excuses. Did Christ come up with a list of excuses whenever it was his time to die on the cross for our sins? No. He willingly and freely did it. He did it for the people that were driving the nails through his hands. He died for them too. And we're just as guilty as they were. He didn't come up with a bunch of excuses. So if we are to imitate Christ and seek after Christ, why do we come up with excuses of how not to serve or how to have our own attitudes instead of the attitude of Christ? There's no more excuses, folks. Eliminate the but. So there's a local construction company that I do a lot of work with. And I've gotten to know the owners quite well. Very nice guys. And every year, they do a benefit. Every year, they do a fundraiser. And they collect money. It's a big local drive. And they match dollar for dollar of everything that's given. Every year, they match over $100,000. That's a lot of money. And then they donate that money to a women's and children's hospital to help promote medication, research, therapy, whatever it is. They don't do it for the accolades. There's actually no reference of the company's name when they're doing it. It's actually covered under another umbrella to where you don't even know who the people are. Why do they do that? Is it because they're Christians? Actually, they're not. Is it because they're trying to imitate Christ? No, they're not Christians, so I don't think they're trying to imitate Christ. Are they doing it for their own accolades? No, because I just told you they're not even publicizing in it. You don't know who it is. So why are they doing it? They're doing it because they're good, nice people. But unfortunately, good and nice people will die and go to hell if they don't have the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And my point of bringing this up is, what are our motives? Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Is it to make the world a better place? Good job. That's admirable. That's awesome. Is it to help somebody else out in need? That's awesome too. Is it for some self-gratification, to make you feel better about yourself so you don't need to face the reality that you're going to die and go to hell because you haven't accepted Jesus Christ? It hurts. But I think oftentimes we confuse that reality. We think, well, I'm a good guy. I don't do drugs. I don't get in trouble with the law. I give all I've got. I help those out in need. I do all this stuff, and all that stuff is great, but if we don't follow Christ, it means nothing in the end. And just like those people that I have learned to appreciate and started to have relationships with and understand who they are, and I've invited them to church, if they don't change, they're going to hell. We have to eliminate the but. We have to eliminate the excuses. We have to get rid of that. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Just like our opening video, what would we be doing differently if Christ came today? Well, today might be the day. We have to eliminate the excuse. We are called to imitate and follow Christ, period. Christ is the picture of humility, and he chose to be humble on a daily basis. The least we can do is honor him with trying to do that back for him. We will fail. The Bible is not preaching perfection. None of us will be able to achieve that. But the Bible is preaching about having the mindset and that willing attitude to seek after Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Again, there are no buts in there. There is no excuses. There is no times of where you are to be imitators of Christ and where you can be imitators of the world. It says, be imitators of Christ, period. There's no more excuses. The scriptures are very clear that we as Christians are to imitate and follow Christ. We're to do it every single day. We have a tendency to get caught up in ourselves and our own successes and our own desires and our own hurts and our own trials and our own tribulations instead of focusing on Christ, instead of actively choosing to pursue after Christ. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 13, this is part of my favorite verse. And it's probably partially your all's favorite verse too, for some of you. But one thing that I think gets overlooked on Philippians 4:13 is Philippians 4:11 and 12. 4:13 is my favorite verse. It's an encouraging verse, it's a motivating verse, it's a I got you type of verse. But verses 11 and 12 say a lot. And he says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So it doesn't matter. Again, this is going back to eliminating the excuses. It doesn't matter how high or how low. We can do it all through Christ who gives us strength. We just sang a song, it's all because of Jesus that I'm alive. It's all because of Jesus that we can do anything. It's all because of him. So here's another choice. Choose to be like-minded with Christ, humble, and serve others so that Christ can be exalted. So Paul describes how Christ was exalted and given a place on Most High because of his attitude, service, humility, and willingness to die for others. If and when we imitate Christ by doing these same things, then God will be glorified. It's to bring God the glory, not to bring ourselves glory. It's to bring God the glory. And so choose to be like-minded with Christ, humble, and serve others. So remember that. Choose to be like-minded with Christ, choose to be humble, and choose to serve others, even when people are watching. We're like, well, that kind of makes, what? But yeah, I want to do those stuffs and when people are watching so that I can get credit for it. What I mean by that is it's easy to have a mindset like Christ. It's easy to serve others. And it's easy to be humble in church. We're surrounded by fellow Christians who should be like-minded in those same things. What about Monday? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? When we're not in the church, people are watching, folks. We took the youth to Clarksburg over the weekend for YEC. It stands for Youth Evangelism Conference. And if you ever want to feel, two things. If you ever want to feel old, and if you ever want to feel just the energy of God, go worship with 600 youth students. We were in an auditorium that there were 600 people there. Actually, I think they said 599, right? But we're pretty convinced there's a lost middle school student there somewhere, so we're just going to say 600. But there's 600 students. And I don't care about what type of music you like or don't like. Whenever you see 600 youth students raising their hands, saying praise to God, nothing else matters, right? And so it's easy, right? It's easy to get wrapped up in that moment. It's easy to put your hands up and worship Christ because everybody else around you is doing that. And so it promotes that, right? There's strength in numbers. There's encouragement to do it, and it's awesome to see. But I challenge them, and I challenge you, what are we doing on Monday? What are we doing after that conference? What are we doing the rest of the week? Because those people that are watching you do that are still watching you. There are people out there that are wondering if they should become Christians or not based on how you act. And one of the speakers said that he had a friend that worked in business with a guy for over 20 years and never shared that he was a Christian, never shared the love of Christ to this guy. And one Monday morning, this guy who he's been friends with for 20 years comes back to work the next day and said, "Dude, I accepted Christ yesterday. I'm a Christian now. Do you want to know how to become a Christian too?" He said that to the guy that was a Christian. And the guy kind of took a step back and said, "I am a Christian." And the new Christian said, "Really? You're the reason it took me over 20 years to decide if I want to be a Christian or not. Because I saw how good you were, and I thought if I could be that good, then I don't need this Christ thing." People are watching all the time. And if they see us being good, they see us doing things, having the attitude like Christ, but they never hear us share the Word of God, they never hear us proclaim our love and our relationship with Christ, we could have that exact same situation. I don't want to be that guy. I mean, how small would you feel? How much of a failure would you feel at that moment? I don't want to be that guy. So we need to be having the mindset of Christ, willing to serve, actively seeking after Christ when we're with one another, but also when we're out in our workplace or our schools or wherever we may be. We are called to imitate Christ. We are called to be the light of the world, the light of Christ for the rest of the world. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." That's the key, the ending of it. Be the light of the world. Let your light shine. But why? Not for self-gratification, so that they will give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are to be the light of the world. Scriptures don't say be a light so that everybody else can give you praise and glory. They say that be the light so that they can give God the glory. We cannot do any of these things our own. We are sinful human beings. We will revert back to our sinful nature. That's why it takes intentionality. That's why it takes being on purpose for Christ. We must strive to that all the time. Paul, whenever he wrote these scriptures, he was in prison. Remember, my favorite slide now is eliminate the but. That's my favorite slide now. Paul did exactly that. He was in prison. He could have just gave up. That dude had a lot of excuses not to continue preaching or writing the Word of God, right? He had a lot of reasons, because that's why he was in jail. He very well might have been executed for that. So he had a lot of reasons and excuses not to continue. But thankfully, he followed Christ. He had the attitude of Christ. He had the mindset of Christ. And then he put those attitudes and mindsets into action. And he was a humble servant for Christ. Paul knew the challenge. He knew the opportunity. He knew that he might die for it. But he chose to follow after Christ. Paul's writing emphasizes the importance of choosing to follow after our Lord. And so I'm going to close with this. The choice is yours. The ways of the world are oftentimes opposite to the ways of Christ. That is why we must choose every single day to think like Christ, to strive to act like Christ, and to serve like Christ. Our sinful nature is to instead focus on our own needs, our own desires, and our own wants. Even when we actually do a good thing, our sinful nature is to desire honor and acknowledgement of that accomplishment. Christ is to be exalted. The world will experience the love of Christ through us. And speaking of love, I preached this morning on imitating Christ, on seeking after Christ and the ways of our actions and our attitudes and the way that we live our lives. Well, if you want to know a good way, a good reference place in the Bible of where to find how to act like that, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing." So here's where our attitudes come in. Love is patient. How many of us are patient all the time? You put me in a line at Walmart. Whew. Lord, forgive me. So love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now hope, faith, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. If we are to imitate Christ, one of the best things we can strive to do is to check all those boxes. Is it easy to do that? No. I just admitted that I'm not very patient when it comes to being at Walmart. How patient am I with my children? How patient am I with my wife? How patient am I with things at work? How patient am I when somebody comes up to me and says something not very nice? God doesn't say just be patient when it's convenient for you. He says to be patient. He says to have love like Christ, to imitate like Christ, love like Christ. So this morning I challenge you with that. I'll leave us with that. The choice is ours. We have so many different choices that we've talked about this morning. We can choose to imitate God. We can choose to be a humble servant. We can choose to have the attitude of God. But there's a bigger choice out there too. We can choose to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the biggest choice that we could ever make. And it is the best choice you can ever make. And so as we go in our time of invitation this morning, if you have never made that choice, if you have never made that decision to follow after Christ, today is the day. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't even know about this afternoon. Don't put it off. God is calling you. Respond today. If you're a Christian, you've been saved by the power of God, but maybe your attitude or maybe your actions or whatever are not imitating Christ. Maybe you're just not being that good reflection of Christ for the rest of the world. It's okay. It's okay. The past is the past. God's not focused on that. But he wants you to make a decision today to start now imitating Christ. So you can make that decision today too. So bow with me as we get in time of invitation. Father God, we just come to you this morning just so thankful for all the wonderful blessings that you've given us. Lord, there is no way that we could ever come close to repaying you for the gift of your Son. We can never come close to that. But Lord, what we can do is we can honor you. We can honor you through our mindset, through our actions, and we can honor you by seeking after you in all that we do. Lord, this morning I just ask that you would make that a priority on all of our lives. Give us the courage and the dedication and the willingness to seek after you in all that we do, no matter of what the situation is. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that's never accepted your redeeming grace, Lord, I ask that you would just move in their heart this morning and that they would respond to your call. Lord, if there's somebody here that has accepted your love of Christ but hasn't been following you, then I just ask that they would rededicate themselves this morning to actively pursue you. Lord, you know the need in all of our lives. And we will trust you in whatever that need is, and we will follow you wherever you lead us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your Son's name, amen.
If you would stand with me for our invitation, Mark will be down front if you'd like to pray with him. Also, the altar is now open as well.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Let us do his good will. He abides with us.
Something that you may not know. As deacons, we are not leaders of the church. We are servants of the church. And as Mark's sermon was, we take joy in serving. Our job is to serve you. So please, if there is something that we can do, if there's a concern, a care, a need, if there's a praise, call us. Let us serve you, the church. And as I was walking up here, I noticed that we have a chair. Now we have a table and a Bible sitting on it. Leads me to believe that we are getting closer to the person who is going to be in that chair. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly.